I will spare no effort, none, or any commitment to turn around this pandemic.
The president-elect announces new plans to handle COVID-19. This is Wednesday, November 11th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also coming your way, a new warning from the head of the World Health Organization. Australia may be doing something right in dealing with its COVID pandemic. You'll hear more about the new Pfizer vaccine. All of that and more on today's VOA Asia. After winning a close election, Democratic President-elect Joe Biden now shifts focus to governing a deeply divided nation that is grappling with a deadly pandemic and a struggling economy. More from VOA's Brian Patton.
President-elect Joe Biden ran on promises to expand access to health care, assistance for the working poor, and to develop clean energy industries that would generate millions of new jobs. His most immediate concern, however, will be addressing the surging coronavirus pandemic that has resulted in over 237,000 deaths in the U.S., according to Johns Hopkins University.
I will spare no effort, none, or any commitment to turn around this pandemic.
Biden formed a coronavirus task force Monday to focus on scaling up testing, increasing production of protective equipment for healthcare workers, and developing and distributing vaccines. But to pass his agenda, Biden will have to navigate entrenched partisan divisions that have intensified during outgoing President Donald Trump's term in office.
The divisions are deep. I have hope that we will move on a healing path over time. It will not happen quickly. It will not happen easily.
Biden could face formidable opposition from the Senate's top Republican, Mitch McConnell, who will remain majority leader and set the chamber's agenda if Republicans win one of two Georgia runoff races in January.
McConnell could dig his heels in and not allow many liberal choices.
At the same time, Biden is viewed as a consummate dealmaker, having served as a senator for decades and as former President Barack Obama's vice president. His rapport with McConnell and others will be put to the test.
He might be able to use that relational capital in order to build unlikely coalitions that we perhaps have not seen in the last 4 years.
Biden has emphasized the need for bipartisan cooperation to work for the common good.
To make progress, we have to stop treating our opponents as our enemies. They are not our enemies. They are Americans.
But the Democratic leader will also face pressure from progressives in his own party who want universal government-funded health care and aggressive measures to fight climate change. Some far-left Democrats like New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have already expressed frustration that after getting elected, moderate Democrats tend to abandon progressive causes while seeking deals with Republicans. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The Director General of the World Health Organization, Tedros Ghebreyesus, warns the COVID-19 pandemic is threatening decades of progress against infectious and communicable diseases. In an opening speech to a week-long meeting of the World Health Assembly, Tedros urged nations to come together to defeat this common enemy. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
So come on, everybody. Let your light shine, because we are family.
We are family.
American singer-songwriter Kim Sledge, who led the Tongan Nurses Choir, got the meeting off to an upbeat start with this rousing rendition of the classic song, We Are Family. In an appropriate gesture of thanks, WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus paid tribute to the incredible contribution of nurses and midwives in braving the dangers of the coronavirus to save the lives of others. He struck a personal note by expressing his joy at becoming a grandfather for the first time 2 weeks ago, a joy, he said, that was tinged with worry.
I wonder what sort of world my granddaughter will grow up in. Although she knows nothing about it, the COVID-19 pandemic will shape her life and the world she grows up in.
A world in which nearly 50 million people globally have been infected with the coronavirus, cutting short the lives of more than 1.2 million people. Tedros said many countries and cities have successfully prevented or curbed the spread of the disease, but noted several countries, especially in Europe and the Americas, have reimposed restrictions to battle a new wave of infections.
We might be tired of COVID-19, but it's not tired of us. It pays no heed to political rhetoric or conspiracy theories. Our only hope is science, solutions, and solidarity.
While the WHO is focused on coordinating and supporting the response to the pandemic, Tedros said the agency has not neglected other global health needs that do not make the headlines.
But so far this year, we have responded to more than 60 emergencies, including major outbreaks of chikungunya in Chad, yellow fever in Gabon and Togo, measles in Mexico, conflicts in the Sahel, Middle East and the Caucasus, storms in the Philippines and Vietnam, and much more.
Tedros said none of the health worries and many other challenges facing the world can be addressed in isolation. He said they are deeply intertwined and must be tackled in solidarity and compassion with one another. In that spirit, he congratulated U.S. President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. He said he looked forward to working with their administration very closely. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Australia has recorded another day of no locally transmitted coronavirus cases. Health authorities say there are now fewer than 90 active COVID-19 infections in the country. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has more.
For three consecutive days, Australia has recorded no new cases of community transmission in its relentless fight against COVID-19. Victoria, which was at the centre of a second wave of infections, has reported its 11th consecutive day of no new cases or fatalities. More disease control restrictions have been eased in the state capital, Melbourne, as one of the world's longest coronavirus lockdowns comes to an end. But some restrictions remain. Masks are still mandatory in Victoria. And authorities say that Remembrance Day services to commemorate the end of the First World War on November 11 won't go ahead because of limits on gatherings. Large crowds will also be banned from Sydney's famous New Year's Eve fireworks. The midnight display will go ahead, but will be much shorter than normal. Prime harbourside viewing areas for the New Year's fireworks display will be exclusively reserved for frontline health and emergency workers. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian.
We'll be releasing final details very shortly, but we wanted to make it clear that unless you've been given a ticket to one of the designated areas or unless you have a booking at a restaurant or a cafe, please do not expect to go to the CBD for New Year's Eve.
Australia has detected 27,600 coronavirus infections since the pandemic began. 907 people have died. Health officials have said four main factors contributed to Australia's relative success in containing the highly contagious virus. The closure of its international borders to foreign travellers in March, mass testing, sophisticated contact tracing, and adherence to distancing and hygiene protocols. Many borders separating Australia's states and territories were closed to curb the spread of the virus. Queensland authorities said Tuesday they were hopeful of allowing travel with Victoria early next month. Officials in South Australia have also been meeting to discuss the reopening of its border with neighbouring Victoria. Australia's international borders aren't expected to reopen until next year. As summer approaches, health authorities are urging Australians not to be apathetic or complacent about the dangers of COVID-19. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Pharmaceutical company Pfizer announced Monday that late-stage testing on its potential COVID-19 vaccine is so far indicating 90% effectiveness. The positive news in the fight against the coronavirus came on the same day President-elect Joe Biden announced his team of public health experts that will advise him on handling the pandemic as cases surge across the nation. Could this vaccine be a game changer? VOA's Lori London asked that of Dr. Raj Gandhi, infectious disease physician at Harvard Medical School, advisor with the Infectious Diseases Society of America, and a member of the National Institutes of Health COVID-19 Guidelines Panel.
You know, I think it very well could be. I'm excited to learn more about the details of the results. You're right. The top line headline looks very promising. 90% is actually a greater benefit than some of us initially thought might be seen. So initially, people were thinking we might see a 50 to 60% efficacy, and this is much higher. And if that's borne out as we get the detail, that really is very, very promising. A few things to note that we need to know the answers to. Did it prevent mild disease or did it prevent severe disease? Of course, it's much more important to prevent severe disease because that's where the benefit is the most important. Does it reduce the level of virus and when you get the disease, and then does it prevent transmission? And then probably last but not least, by any means, is how long does the protection last? That's a question for which they won't yet have an answer. This is just too new to know the answer for how long the immunity would last. And then lastly, and importantly, what's the safety? They made an announcement that they want to collect a few more weeks of data to really be able to say with confidence what the safety is. The FDA, I think appropriately, wanted at least 2 months of follow-up. And so that's a few weeks from now, later on in November, that they'll reach that time point. I think they should even look at safety even further out, although the first 2 months is important because a lot of events, if there's safety events, happen, you know, within a few weeks to a month or two.
And regarding distribution, I guess it's a little too early to talk about that.
No, it's not too early in that I think plans have been made around distribution, but now the details really bear this out. We have to think concretely about how to deliver vaccines, and this particular vaccine is one that has to be kept really quite cold, and it is a two-dose vaccine. So thinking through the logistics is really important, and that's a good problem to have. In fact, it's not a problem. It's a good thing. The amount of vaccine, they are pretty clear. They're going to ramp up production as quickly as possible, but there'll be some time before we have really the hundreds of millions of doses that we need to immunize the whole population, and we just need to know some more about the details about how effective it is and how safe it is before we can really go down that route.
There was a lot of news about the coronavirus coming out on Monday. We know that we're hearing some dire numbers going forward into the winter, and President-elect Joe Biden came out and announced his approach and his upcoming task force of people that he wants to be spearheading this, but he also did talk about a dark winter. Would you say at this point, basically, the Pandora's out of the box for the next coming months and that there's not much that we can do about what is already here for the next couple months? Are we still at high risk?
I mean, the numbers are definitely concerning, but I do think there are things we can do. And I am optimistic that if we do those things, that we can begin to reverse the trends right now, which are very disturbing. So as you said, the numbers are well over 100,000 cases per day, which is way too high. And even more concerningly, hospitalizations are rising and deaths are more than 1,000 a day. I do think that with forward thinking, clear messaging, coordinated responses, that we can get control over this. And that's why the Infectious Diseases Society of America and its HIV Medicine Association, and I'm the chair of the HIV Medicine Association, just sent a letter to President-elect Biden, really outlining four or five pillars of what we think it would take to get an effective response. And so I do think there's a lot that can be done about this.
What did you think overall about Biden's proposed approach, the people that he is tasking to take this on?
I am cheered by the fact that he's selected a really expert group of individuals who have deep experience in healthcare, public health, and so I definitely think that's the right next step. One message that the Infectious Disease Society of America and HIVMA, HIV Medicine Association, really want to promote is that advancing a national response plan that's really led by public health and scientist leaders is critical. This is a public health emergency, and so you need public health leaders and scientists to lead the response. I do see that as a positive direction of this task force. It really is a public health and scientific leader response to this pandemic, so I do support that.
Do you still think, though, that we'll be dealing with coronavirus for the at least near future?
I do. I think, you know, this is a pandemic that's going to take a coordinated response, but I do think that even though the vaccine, I'm much more optimistic than I was before that the vaccine will be effective. I think we're going to be living with this for some time, and it's hard to predict exactly how long, but at least we know some of the tools from the very beginning do work: masking, social distancing, contact tracing, testing and contact tracing. But then when augmented with the vaccine, I'm more optimistic than I was before Monday.
VOA's Lori London speaking with Dr. Raj Gandhi, infectious disease physician at the Harvard Medical School. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.